My brothers and sisters, white racial loyalists of the world, our great public meeting in York, Pennsylvania has now concluded. Hundreds of white racial loyalists, many members of other organizations in addition to our World Church of the Creator, came together for the common cause and stood tall and determined in the battle for the freedom for their people. Many of these comrades not only fought together physically, side by side, regardless of organization, against the mobs of anti-racist villains determined to destroy a future for white children through violence, but also in fact bled together, and hence further solidified the bond of blood and spirit that bonds us all. It is therefore part of this camaraderie, this bond of blood and spirit, that I wish to take the opportunity to address all of my white racial loyalist comrades of the world, and especially those who stood in York. I do so because what I have to express is vital for the continued growth and strength of the movement. And further, since many of you who stood in the streets of York were unable to enter the meeting room at the library to hear my speech, I want to make sure that I address you and give you the address that you came to York to hear and defend at the risk of your own safety. You have stood for me, and I stand for you now and forevermore. It is, needless to say, my hope and intention that this address will be broadcasted far and wide through the efforts of you, my brothers and sisters. Distribute it to others, post it on the websites, email it. What I have to say is, as I stated earlier, a vital concern for the continued growth of the white racial loyalist movement, a movement, as we all know, that the Jews and their white traitor lackeys are determined to snuff out by using their mass anti-racist shock troops in the streets. What I have to say is a vital concern, regardless of whether you agree with every element of the creed and program of our World Church of the Creator, or whether you know me personally. For if my words are true, and the awesome success of York may be realized to be just that, this in itself justifies the dissemination of this message to every last white racial loyalist in the world who, in his or her heart, yearns for the victory that propelled our comrades forward in York and has propelled our comrades forward elsewhere. I personally, as is obvious, believe that creativity will lead the way to white victory. But my own chauvinism aside, there isn't a creator that exists in the world who wouldn't want the victory, the guaranteeing of a future for white children to happen by whatever means and way possible, whether with the church or without the church. Let this be remembered. If there ever be any question from any quarter in the white racial loyalist movement of the sincerity and purity of motives in my helping to bring about the victory that we all covet, I clasp your hand, my brother or sister, as your comrade, your friend, your brother, and your fellow warrior, who would and will stop at nothing, anytime or anywhere, to do my part to make sure that our people live. My brothers and sisters, let me now get to the heart of the matter concerning our meeting in York on January 12th. It behooves me first to give a rundown of the facts surrounding this meeting. Sometime in November, I was contacted by Brother Michael Cook of our Wrightsville, Pennsylvania chapter, who asked if it might be possible for the church to hold a public meeting at York's public library. He informed me that York was an extremely controversial place because it had been the scene of deadly race riots in the 1960s, and that, furthermore, the mayor of the city, Charlie Robertson, had recently been charged with murder stemming from the death of an irrelevant negress in 1969. In other words, 32 years after the murder of the negress, whose life is of no value in the first place, of course, the mayor of York was to be placed on trial for her death. I recall when Brother Cook was telling me these things that, yes, indeed, I had seen talk about this matter on television in times past, and I further realized that such a meeting in this city would be controversial from the very beginning, and would hence bait the enemies of the white race to do their damnedest to thwart our plans. This would in turn bring tremendous attention to our great struggle, attention which is absolutely necessary if we are to reach the people with our message, even if the message is spun by the Jewish press. After due consideration, I authorized him to rent the Martin Library meeting room in York, and we set the date for January 12th. Shortly thereafter, due to the fact that members of the National Alliance have supported the church by attending both of our public meetings in Wallingford, Connecticut, in March and April of last year, and because I personally know that many members of the National Alliance believe in creativity as their religion, and some of these are in fact members of both organizations, I invited Brother Billy Roper, the membership coordinator for the National Alliance, to speak at the upcoming meeting as well. He appreciated the invitation and duly accepted. Then the avalanche of white racial loyalist camaraderie began. Soon the Hammerskin Nation announced that it would be supporting the meeting. Then the National Socialist Movement announced the same. And then finally the Aryan Nations expressed their comradeship likewise. Associates of white Aryan resistance also came forward. Other organizations I am not even aware of also undoubtedly implored their membership and supporters to attend. Never before, to my knowledge, had various organizations such as these so easily and so fervently come together, and yet it happened like magic. The church proved that it could bring people together like no other. Why is this so important? It is important because if we are united in numbers, we are united in power. Our enemies, realizing this, brought several hundred of their own to York, determined to leave us bloody on the pavement. As in the case of the Red Front during the early days of the National Socialist German Workers' Party, our enemies were determined to and swore to teach us a lesson and brought in as many anarchist and communist freaks as they could to break the mobilization of our comrades. However, our white racial loyalist comrades were more than a match for the anti-racist scoundrels. The fists of white revolution were more than a match for the fists of the proletariat, or the mask wearers of the imbecilic doctrine of anarchism. As was the case with the Red Front that Adolf Hitler so vividly described in Volume 2 of Mein Kampf, the anti-racists were defeated, and defeated big, with the only thing left remaining is their conclusive defeat that will undoubtedly happen another time. Due to the massive coming together of white racial loyalists both inside and outside of our beloved World Church of the Creator, the media was completely unable to ridicule or negate our influence and power in the streets of York. Due to our massive coming together, the anti-racist foes revealed to the world their utter inability to stem the tide of our movement. Due to our massive coming together, the white people of York and across the world were imbued with hope that yes, yes indeed, we can turn the tide. No longer will white racial loyalists stand divided, allowing the movement to be written off or negated, but instead, the white skin will be our uniform, and regardless of specific organization allegiances, when the anti-racist enemy charges, all white racial loyalists stand rank and rank together. The events in York have thoroughly and absolutely demonstrated that we were right in putting together mass meetings. When our church first began having public meetings, there were some people who argued that we shouldn't do so. They sent us letters and emails saying that we should instead not show our faces for fear that our adherents might become identified or that the feds would copy our license plate numbers, etc. Others said that we would be killed and other such things. A few others said that we should instead work quietly in trying to awaken our befuddled people. Well, it is time for each and every white racial loyalist to say today that they don't give a tinker's damn whether we are identified or not, that we don't give a tinker's damn whether the feds know who we are, and further, that while the chance of our being killed is pretty slim, as is obvious, whatever the risk to our individual lives, we must publicly proclaim our struggle for the white race if we are to indeed earn the allegiance of the white race. No more lurking in the shadows, no more excuses. Working quietly does not cut it. No. Victory will come through powerful street demonstrations and mass meetings, not through the cloak and dagger or silent wishful thinking. Only through boldly proclaiming who we are and what we want will the people come to want these things with the steady but sure tide of events further working in our favor with each passing day. Now some may say that the violence that occurred in York and the wounding of some of our comrades will discourage them and others from attending our mass meetings in the future. Let us not overestimate, however, the casualties we suffered. Yes, there were some fights. Yes, our enemies attacked our comrades and some blood was lost. However, when was a revolution ever won without some spilled blood? Further, is not the salvation of our white race worth the relatively small price to pay? Clearly. No, my comrades, what happened in York will not discourage you from attending our mass meetings, but instead will encourage you, and further encourage the strong and proud of our race elsewhere to attend them in the future. Strong men like a fight, and while the weak of the world will scurry at the first sign of danger, the strong will enter the fray. This natural selection, as Adolf Hitler also recognized, will guarantee our success and legitimize our cause more in the people's eyes than perhaps anything else. It is, after all, power that attracts people more than anything, and the events in York clearly demonstrate our power for the world to see. We who have been so vilified, let the people see that the villains number in the hundreds and then the thousands. We who are perceived as being so violent, let the people see so many of us that we intimidate and, in self-defense, physically beat the anti-racist scum who feverishly attempt to eliminate our constitutional rights through violence. Let the world know that we do not turn the other cheek. Let the world know that we are not what I like to call milquetoast racists, but instead radical revolutionaries who symbolize strength and virility like no other movement in history. This brings us to today, my brothers and sisters. The mass meetings must continue come what may. If our foes continue to try to stop them through violence, that's all the better, because it will both increase the knowledge of the masses about our cause, as well as reveal the scoundrelic nature of those who oppose our cause. The white racial loyalist movement wins, no matter what. Soon, very soon, the church will be sponsoring another mass meeting in York, and I will be calling upon you, my brother or sister, to be there, and strive to have all fellow white racial loyalists you know be there as well. Much was learned from the first meeting there, and what mistakes there were will not be repeated. York was unfamiliar territory for all of us, but now that logistical awkwardness is a thing of the past. Things will be more organized, and the bottom line is that no anti-racist scoundrel will dare to attack either our property or our persons without his own neck being on the chopping block to do it. I will be personally organizing this effort, and such centralization of efforts will help prevent the dividing of our forces that did occur at times in York. Heed my call when it comes. To all of you who are members of different organizations, put your faith in me, and I promise you that you shall not repent it. Now I must address a recent disturbing development in which orders have come down from the head of one of the organizations that was present in York to no longer participate in events sponsored by other organizations. I choose not to mention the organization by name, because it is not my intent to have any of you cast fingers at the organization, but simply to demonstrate how incredibly damaging and unjustifiable such an order is. I do this not out of opposition to the organization itself, whose members have been supportive and respectful towards our World Church of the Creator for years. I do this not because I want to attack the organization, and nor because it is my intent to turn its members against it. I do this because my commitment to white victory absolutely mandates that I oppose any decision from anyone that makes our victory less likely, and this order, I guarantee, certainly does. What made York a fantastic victory was that white racial loyalists from different organizations came together like never before in history. The result was that both the masses, the press, and the anti-racist enemy in the streets came away from York recognizing that we are a force to be reckoned with. I continue to get emails from comrades from different organizations who express their continued comradeship and how glorious it was to physically fight side by side with our creators. I continue to hear from the media that the various anti-racist groups are alarmed by the unity of the white racial loyalist movement that was shown in York. Now, out of some kind of hubris, the head of the organization mentioned wants to pull out of the foundation created there and retreat into the darkness of the past. Since the result and replication of such a decision can and will only mean that our numbers will be considerably reduced, I must necessarily vociferously oppose such an order and welcome members of the organization in question to continue to stand shoulder to shoulder with us as needed and necessary. The victory we all covet demands no less. As I close this address, my brothers and sisters, may we always keep our eyes on the goal and do our duty each and every day, regardless of obstacles, so that one day our children and their children may look upon this time with the gleam of pride in their eyes and a smile on their face that, yes, their fathers and mothers did their duty and did it well. All hails to those who stood by my side in York, and all hails to those who will stand by my side in the future, Rahoa. Now, my brothers and sisters, that concludes my address that I have issued through the Struggle publication, our monthly publication. We have also sent this out to our email list, and I thought it would be appropriate to leave this week's episode in class, and we trust the White Power Hour with that address. As I stated in that address, I hope that you will spread it far and wide. We very much need all white racial loyalists everywhere to heed the call that we must have the mass meetings. We must stand together in the streets. We must have our public meetings, come what may. And if our foes come against us with their violence, then let the world see their violence. Let the world see who the violent ones truly are. While we, of course, have the right of self-defense, and we mean to exercise that right, it will be clear to all that if it weren't for the anti-racists, there would not be the mayhem in the streets. If it weren't for the cozy myth, so-called cozy, obvious myth of racial equality being promulgated and pushed in this society, we wouldn't have the chaos in the streets that we have. So the anti-racists do us a favor. They have always done us a favor. Now, you can't really tell an anti-racist much. You can't tell these individuals who are determined to come to our meetings and cause such havoc as they did at York. You can't tell them what to do, because they won't believe us anyway. I can tell the anti-racists that they are doing us a tremendous favor by attending each and every one of our functions, but they won't believe me. I don't expect them to, and obviously, because they distrust me, they will do the opposite. They will assume that if I'm telling them, or telling you, that the anti-racists do us a favor by attending our events, that I am lying, and they will do the opposite. They will continue to attend our events and presume that we don't like that because I'm telling people that we do. That's the amusing thing about it, of course, that this is the nature of these true villains. Well, this publication I have in front of me called The Struggle is indeed the greatest pro-white publication in the world today. And I want to spend a few moments talking about this because not enough people subscribe to The Struggle. Not enough people are members of our church. We need a lot more members. We're not going to win this with what numbers we have, and we don't give our numbers out. But let's suffice it to say that we don't have tens of thousands of members. That would certainly be accurate. We don't have tens of thousands of members. We don't have 100,000 members. We don't have 1 million members. We don't have 10 million members. But we need 10 million members. We need members all over the place. Sometimes people ask me, well, what should I do once I've joined the church? Recruit more members. It's as simple as that. If you've joined, your neighbor can join. If your neighbor joins, his neighbor can join. If your family member joins, their work buddies can join. Spread the word like wildfire. Now, you have to know as well as I do that the black organizations, they are pushing all the time. They're getting new members of the NAACP, of the Rainbow Push Coalition, and so forth. The Jewish Defense League, well, they may be a little bit down and out right now because their leader's in jail pending a terrorism charge. Groups like the Anti-Defamation League, they recruit people. They have all kinds of money. They have all kinds of power. They're able to put politicians in their pockets, basically, or get in the politician's pocket. They are not sparing any effort whatsoever in order to eviscerate a future, the future, for your children. They are anxious to enslave your children. And if you are not willing to fight against that, if you are not willing to stand up against that, you are part of the problem. And so let me say right here and now that at the very minimum, you should subscribe to The Struggle. That is our 12-page monthly publication. And this month's issue is particularly important. It contains that address I just spoke to you, as well as numerous clippings, as well as articles. Very informative, very inspiring, very educational. Material that you need, and by obtaining The Struggle, you'll help us with a little donation, basically. $25 for 12 issues, not going to break you one iota, my brother or sister. And by subscribing to The Struggle, you can support us financially, as well as have the information necessary and needed to spread the message of creativity of white racial loyalty throughout the world. You don't have to be a creator to receive The Struggle, I might add. There are individuals, individuals who are college professors who get a copy of The Struggle because they want to keep informed about what's going on with the World Church of the Creator. And that's one of the great things about the World Church of the Creator, is that there really is no secret here. There are no secrets with the World Church of the Creator. We are not slinking around. We are not pulling any punches. We say exactly what we want, and we make our demands very forthrightly. And so, that's fine. Now, I know for a fact the Anti-Defecation League, as some people like to call it, or the Anti-Decency League, as I like to call it, alias the Anti-Defamation League, I know for a fact they subscribe to The Struggle because we've been informed some of the things they've said have been quoting The Struggle before, and that's fine. Let these Jews know that we are so sure of ourselves that we are right out in the open and we are opposing what they are doing with every fiber of our being. Now, as far as membership in the church is concerned, we do have memberships available. Joining the church is not an easy process. You have to fill out an application in order to do so. Our address is P.O. Box 2002, East Peoria, Illinois, 61611. If you are on the internet, and most of you indeed are, if you're listening to me right now, you can go to our website at www.creator.org and fill out an application at that site. You can print it out and fill it out and then send it in with your dues. If you are approved, then that will be fine. We'll send you your membership materials, including your first copy of The Struggle. If you are not approved, we will send back your money and we will explain why you have not been approved. We do not accept anyone of poor character. We do not accept anyone who has any kind of a deviant record as far as, for example, if someone applies who's a pedophile, they will not be accepted. Somebody who applies has a criminal background, is unrepentant, they will not be accepted. If someone applies who is not wholly of the white race, they will not be accepted. So we do have membership standards. But most people do fulfill those standards, and besides, if you were tainted in a sense, you wouldn't be applying for membership in the first place, most people. It's very clear, of course, that that's the situation. So, we also have what we call the official supporter classification. If you would like to become an official supporter, it's very easy. In this format, there is no requirement of character, no requirement of a suitable good background. Essentially, an official supporter is someone who wants the recognition privately or publicly, if they choose, if they want to make it public, by all means they can, that they support the World Church of the Creator. The official supporter category is very good for anyone who has any reservations about actually being a member but who wants to support the church. Very simple, $50 donation a year They receive the Struggle publication. They receive a copy of the Creator Membership Manual, which members, of course, also receive. They receive a certificate as well. And this is especially good for those individuals who are unable to be at public events, who might have a job that's extremely sensitive, in which they can't be outed, so to speak, or which they might have reluctance, at least, in doing so, but who wish to support the church. In other words, the sum total of our having membership, subscriber status, and official supporter status is that you can support the church one way or the other. There is simply no excuse for not supporting the great efforts of the World Church of the Creator. There is no way that we can win this battle that we have taken upon ourselves if we don't support this effort. It's like trying to walk with your legs tied if we don't have your support. I can go ahead and preach on this radio station. I certainly will until the cows come home. As long as we have the funds to do so, we do have the funds to do so. We have the funds to cover this very easily. But at the same time, we cannot counter the massive propaganda from our racial enemies as long as they have 1,000 times more money than we have, as long as they have 1,000 times more influence than we have, as long as they have the power and we don't have the power, we can't win. So keep that in mind. Look in the mirror and ask yourself, what have you done for your white race today? If you can say that you've done something for your white race, that's wonderful, and that's what we need. But if you can't say that, you need to change that. You need to become an activist one way or the other. You can be an activist by passing out the literature, by coming to the mass meetings, by standing up for your people in a very public way. Many things you can do. Or you can support the activists from behind the scenes with your contributions such as official supporter donations. We need it. We need every dime we can raise. Getting the message out to the masses is not cheap. Having a plane trip here and there, giving public speeches, fighting the various frivolous lawsuits that exist against us right now, sending out literature all the time, of course, for free to people all over the world. It takes money to do all this. Our website is expensive. I don't want to tell you exactly how expensive it is, but let's just suffice it to say that it costs a lot of money, certainly by any stretch of the imagination, to have this website, to have this radio show, to have the various expenses that we have. We need your help. Now, I don't like to talk about money. Those of you who know me pretty well, and some of you do, I'm the last person you would imagine wanting to add up dollars and cents. I don't like it. In fact, I would shun such an exercise. If you were to ask me how much money the World Church of the Creator has right now, I couldn't tell you, because I'm not really paying all that much attention to that. But I do know that the more we are self-sufficient, the more our movement, I should say, is self-sufficient, the more we have local churches springing up across the world and who can raise money to support their activities, the more we can counter the non-white propaganda machine, the better. It's as simple as that. So, we're about out of time for the first half hour of this program. I need to be turning the tape over, and we will continue with this discussion in a moment. Okay, we are back with In Clausen We Trust, the White Power Hour with Reverend Matt Hale. I'm a little bit surprised that my address was so quick, actually. I don't have a heck of a lot of material left on this week's program, but I did want to talk about you're becoming a subscriber to The Struggle, since The Struggle is hot off the press. Came off the press today. It's going to be sent out to people all over the world tomorrow. And you will want to obtain your copy. There's simply nothing like it. In every single issue, you will see that We of the World Church of the Creator are extremely active. We're not talking about just talking to ourselves. We're talking about talking to the people, bringing the message of white racial loyalty to the masses. In this particular issue of the struggle, we have several articles. We have an article here, anti-Jewish newspaper delivered in East Peoria. We have an article here, racist targets, the usual, and a big picture of me saluting. We have an article here, supremacists tie knot before speech. I thought it was very nice. Nice touch. I had married a couple in York before I gave my speech, and they made the news, and we're happy to report that I had married them. We have an article here, York City prepares for racist, talking more about the York meeting. One article here I'll mention briefly, local organizer left out of race meeting. This was really a sickening situation in which Brother Cook, who indeed sponsored our meeting in York, was actually barred from entering the meeting room by the police. Now, if that isn't illegal, I don't know what is. He's the person who rented the room. He had every right to be in that room, but they would not allow him in the room. And as Brother Cook put it in the article, he said, it's no misunderstanding. It's obviously a police state tactic. They conspired to sabotage our meeting. Unquote. So, all these clippings are here. We have here Hale looking for local recruits. Library supports free speech. And on the back page, we have protests turned violent on city streets, and it actually shows one of the protesters being hit with a vehicle, one of the anti-racist scum being nailed by this pickup truck, which, as I mentioned, maybe I didn't mention it on last week's program or the week before, we had the situation in which a fellow by the name of Richard Desper, a white racial loyalist comrade, was arrested for merely defending himself. This mob had set upon his pickup truck and were trying to pull him out of the thing, shooting mace at him, had bashed out the back windshield of his vehicle, were attacking his vehicle, and they were in front of him, they were to the side of him, they were clearly trying to kill the man, and so he hit the gas and drove into these scoundrels, as he had every right to do, and yet he was arrested and charged with aggravated assault. Absolutely sickening. Now, we are monitoring this situation. We are going to be watching this situation very closely. Certainly, we will help any way we can with Brother Desper. And in fact, if you out there know how to get a hold of this man, we have been thus far unsuccessful in ascertaining what his phone number is, if he has email, what have you. It's our understanding he's out of jail. I don't know if that's correct or not even, but we need to contact this man because we have absolutely every motivation and intent to help him as he battles this frivolous charge that was brought against him merely for protecting himself, as he has every right to do. Let's see, what else? I was going to talk about something else here. Oh, now, a lot of clippings, like I say. And I see my name quite often in these clippings. You know what? I have really no interest in seeing my name, or little interest in seeing my name so much in comparison with your name. I would like to see far more creators in the news than myself. I like being in the news. There's no question about that. I like to win the people through being in the press. I like to rattle the Jew cages. I like to battle them in the media. That's one of my fortes. It's something I have been doing for a long time now. But at the same time, I recognize in order to have a mass movement that is sufficient to bear that name, we need to have more ministers in the church out there making news in their areas, building their church buildings, having their local congregation, and making news. We can't win this by being just in the middle of the night. We can't win this by only talking to ourselves. We have to talk to those who oppose us. We have to talk to those who are absolutely against us. and make them understand that they have been duped. Anyone out there who believes that our cause is wrong has been duped. There is no other way to put it. There is no easy label to affix to that other than they have been duped. In other words, there is no individual out there who opposes the white racial loyalist cause through independent judgment. There is no person who can look at our cause objectively and say that we're wrong. It is impossible, because it cannot be wrong to seek to survive. It cannot be wrong to want to have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that look something like their ancestors. It cannot be wrong to want to keep our culture untainted and uncontaminated and intact. It cannot be wrong to want a space, a little bit of soil in this world that we can call our own. Now, we all know, of course, our founding fathers of America went to war against the British for land that they could call their own. Every 4th of July, America celebrates independence. What was independence? Basically saying, hey, we, the American colonists, want to have a land of our own free of British domination. If that was right, if it was just and noble and heroic to fight the British for America's independence, then certainly by any stretch of the imagination, it is right, it is just, it is heroic, it is noble to want to fight to free our land from non-white domination. It is just, it is heroic, it is noble to want to resist Jewish domination. It is right to want a land of our own. No one can deny us this right. No one can say that we don't have a right to this. We do have a right to this. If the other races are going to clamor for independence, if the blacks of Africa are going to demand that the white man leave Africa, as they have done so repeatedly for the past few decades, if India could declare its independence and demand that the British get out, if French Indochina could become Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia, and drive the French out, if these non-whites can demand and successfully execute independence for their nations, for their lands, then we, as white Americans, as white people in general, do have a right to have a land that we can call our own. That is not too much to ask. The other races have it. We want it. We want to have a land that we can call exclusively our own so that we can protect our families, we can protect our children, we can protect our way of life, we can make sure that there is a place in the sun for white people. It's as simple as that. Now our foes, they will want to say, well, you want a lot more than that. You want to have genocide against the other races and blah, blah, blah. That is false. We have never said that we want genocide of anyone. In fact, we're trying to stop the genocide of white people. Those individuals out there that want to say, for example, that we're trying to have a Fourth Reich or trying to have Germanic supremacy, no, that is absolutely false. Once again, we are here for the white race everywhere. White people, whether they come from Sweden or Germany or Denmark or Poland or Russia or Italy or Spain, white people everywhere are our brothers and sisters. We have great admiration for Adolf Hitler and respect in that he believed in race. We may not at the same time agree with German nationalism. We are not here for Deutschland über alles. We are here for white people have a right to their own land, to their own prosperity, free from the other races. Now let's just show the hypocrisy of the anti-race position even more tellingly. We have a situation where the anti-racists absolutely demand that mud people be allowed into Europe. Okay? They demand it. They say, hey, France, open your doors. Germany, open your doors to the Turk scum. Spain, open your doors to the Moroccans, etc., the non-whites from Africa, Northern Africa. Sweden, open your doors. Once again, Lily White, formerly Lily White, Sweden, open your doors to these Turkic scum. That's what the anti-racists demand. Of course, they don't call them scum, but they demand that Europe be integrated. And yet, at the same time, they don't make such demands out of the black nations of Africa, do they? How many of these anti-racists from the anti-racist action or the Barricada Collective and these freakish organizations, how many of them go to Africa, knock on the doors of the black, all black nations and say, hey, you better take white people in? No, of course not. They never do it. In fact, they wouldn't have the balls to do it. Because probably these blacks that they allege that they are so fond of would promptly put them in a stew pot, and that would be the end of them. That's just a simple reality. They are savages in Africa, in those areas where white people have not firmly and presently imprinted their will. They live like Stone Age savages that they are. But in any case, we have a situation where America is supposed to allow all these other races in because America is a melting pot and America was founded as a country for all. Well, obviously that's untrue. When America was founded, blacks were considered property. Indians weren't even considered human, basically, and nor were blacks. Our Declaration of Independence actually lists one of the reasons for the revolt from the British Crown was that the British Crown had refused to protect the colonists from the merciless Indian savages. And you can read that for yourself in the Declaration of Independence. In any case, America is supposed to open its doors to all because of this supposed belief that this is a melting pot. Well, when was Europe ever a melting pot? Why should Europe, which has never had this claim to be for all, anywhere, wherever they are and whatever their race, why should they open their doors when the other non-white countries of the world do not open their doors to white people? How many white people can immigrate willy-nilly into China, for example? How many white people can just move right into Zimbabwe or other Negro countries? It doesn't happen with good reason. They want to have a land for themselves. Well, we want to have a land for ourselves. We have every right to have that. My brothers and sisters, as always, we have to remember that this is the most important cause in the history of the world. There is simply nothing that compares to this cause. There's nothing even remotely compared to this cause, no matter what you could name. You could be, for example, a great animal lover. But saving whales or seals or dolphins or poodles or what have you is not near as important as saving the white race. You could be a great environmentalist. Well, the environment's nice and everything, but without white people to inhabit the environment, what's the point? What's the point of saving clean air and clean water if your own people cease to exist? You could believe very strongly in workers' rights. And certainly I believe in workers' rights. I believe, personally, I obviously believe in environment. I believe in saving animals, rare species, etc. I think that that is nice. I think that is noble. But as far as workers' rights go, that's great and everything. But it pales in comparison to the rights of white people. And that, of course, brings up one of my thoughts here about the unions. Where are the unions for the white worker? Oftentimes, they're going to bat for the non-whites, and they seem to be completely derelict in their duty of stopping this free trade, so-called, that is driving the American workers down, the American workers' wage into the gutter. They are completely abandoning their supposed their duty to their own people, their workers. But how can saving workers' futures matter at all if white people cease to exist? In other words, if there are no white people, who cares about the workers? Who cares about whatever the standards may be? Because if we're all a bunch of mongrels, who cares? Who cares if we're making a dollar an hour? If everybody's a mongrel in the world, what's it matter? No matter what cause you can think of, whether it be, once again, the environment, saving animals, workers' rights, education, health, what have you, they all should revolve around the white race. The white race is truly the center of all things. If it is good for white people, it is good. Now that makes the most sense of any idea there is. Ask a liberal what is really the golden rule in this world, what should be done. And they just look at you with a confused expression on their face. They have no yardstick to base their actions upon, truly. Except, I mean, well, I shouldn't even say except, but perhaps they would say, well, just trying to help people. Well, are they really helping white people? Oftentimes, the government will say, well, we've just helped a lot more people here. We've helped this group here, we've helped that group there, but they haven't helped you and I as white people through their actions. Well, my brothers and sisters, we are going to cut this short at this time. Got a lot of work to do, unfortunately. It is a little shorter than usual, this episode of In Clausen We Trust, the White Power Hour with Reverend Matt Hale. And as often these days, I'm a little bit tired. Had about 4 hours of sleep last night. It's been very busy here with the lawsuits and with the struggle going to press. Your mail's piling up. Emails, etc. So, if that was obvious in my presentation, then so be it. Well, let it be known that yes, I work, and I work hard for this cause. And I want you to work as hard as I do, or at least half as hard as I do. If you work half as hard as I do, I will be very, very impressed. Because I work many hours every day, and I don't even keep track of the hours. I don't know. But I know that I'm constantly at it, and here to make sure that I do my duty for our people. Our address, once again, P.O. Box 2002, East Peoria, Illinois, 61611. Be sure to call our hotline number every week, 309-699-0135. Do your part today. Become a member of the church, or an official supporter, or a subscriber, as indicated earlier. We need your help. We need it now. There's no more time for excuses. No more time to say, well, I'd rather have another beer. I'd rather smoke another cigarette. No. Support this cause. Do not be dead weight. The white racial loyalist movement does not need dead weight. We need you to be active on the front lines or in the rear lines, one way or the other, so that we can indeed secure a future for white children. May we together win this racial holy war. Rahoa!